Log Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? This is that time again on a Wednesday evening, and it is 8 o'clock, and you have reached, if you are listening to the sound of my voice, you have reached the Kay Thompson Live Show. My name is Citizen Payne, otherwise known as The Sun, and you are?
I am Kay Thompson, and welcome, everybody, to Kay Thompson Live. Boy, do we have a show for you today. We're going to be talking about several different items that were in the news. Eric, you want to tell us about some of them?
Okay. We're going to be talking about just current events and things like that. We're supposed to have a couple of people calling in, maybe Glenda Taylor, maybe Dr. Bo Jackson, track coach, and maybe Bill Katz. So we're just going to play it by ear and see if we have some of our guests calling in. Was trying to look at some last events of the news, but I guess what's currently going on now is the hurricane that seems to be bombarding Florida and the coast of things like that, as well as a number of other news stories. But before we get into that, let's welcome one of our co-hosts, Mr. Byron Saunders. Byron, how you doing this evening, brother? Oh, hopefully I am. It says that it is loading you up, opening your mic. So if you can hear me, bear with us for a second. I don't know. Maybe it's the hurricane that's slowing things down.
I hear you.
Yeah,
too.
There you go. Well, there you go. We can hear you. We can hear you now. So go ahead and speak.
Oh, it's another amazing day in the paradise, as we say. And my prayers, of course, are for family and friends in Georgia and Florida that got hit really hard today. I did 5 months of post Katrina work, and I can tell you, when you see the devastation. And you know what it looked like here when Hurricane Sandy hit. And, of course, 45 is in somewhere out there having a political rally and has yet to declare emergency help for the devastated areas. That's not good leadership. It's time to vote him out. It's time to get him out of office.
Yeah, if we can.
We will. It's going to happen. We got to start putting the affirmation into the universe. We will get him out of office.
Positive affirmation. Right on, bruh. Okay. you got to really please forgive my cynicism. But as
okay.
you as you mentioned, Trump, doing his fundraisers tonight.
Yeah.
At the very same time, it's not lost on us, shouldn't be lost on many of us and our listeners that he is doing the exact same thing that he criticized President Obama for doing during the Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Sandy. And at that time, when Obama was fundraising, the storm had already made the landfill, had touched land already. So this is right in the middle of it. And so, it's just another example of this man's, I would say hypocrisy, but it's just the constant just lies, which finally the media is finally getting around to calling his lies, didn't just make up anything. And to see the corrupt, well, I don't know if all of these Americans are corrupt, but that support him, but I would suggest that a great many of them believe a certain belief system. And, if you look at some of the news footage from his rallies from a couple of days ago when they started chanting "lock her up" about Dianne Feinstein, these are the same people that this man, the New York Times story came out and said that his whole family cheated on taxes his whole life.
Yeah.
And these are the same individuals always talk about locking up. These are the individuals who I guess would be the second generation, the children, whoever, of the individuals who were supportive of Bo Connor and the racists in the South back in the day.
Right, I call them the children of the damned.
Children of the damned. Yeah. Children of the let them be damned. You know, because this it's that same mentality. And
yes.
And
yeah.
Trump does the same thing. I mean, there's a playbook. He's not doing anything new. From what I notice, he's doing exactly what Cheney and those guys, a playbook, a page from their playbook that they did years ago when they would accuse everybody of this exact thing that they were suspected of doing. And that's how they completely flipped everything. You know, like
right.
If they were in the wrong doing something, they would turn around and accuse you of it. And that's clearly that's what Trump's been doing his whole life. And there's a segment of this population, and they're talking about, you know, I hear people talk about minority rule, you know, these older white males, minority rule ruling the country, going against everything that that everybody else wants to do. But, I mean, it's just, you know, a glaring example of all of that. So let's go on. We have another caller, and I don't know if this is Wayne. I don't know if I recognize the number. Let's see who this is. Hey, caller, how you doing, our guest this evening? Who do we have on the line here at this 718
okay,
number?
I don't know if it's
–
can you hear me? Eric?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay, it's Wayne.
Yeah, we didn't recognize you calling from a slightly different number, I think. So,
I'm still living in the streets of New York. One day my plane will land. Anyhow.
Okay.
Yeah. But conversation has been good. Hi, Kay. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I guess all right.
What's going on?
Florida disaster appears to be,
wow.
You know, the focus of what's going on with regard to the country. I mean, we're now past the Kavanaugh controversy to a certain extent. I'd like to think that there'll be further follow up if we have a change in the body of the House come November 6th. That they will conduct an investigation, but, you know, that's behind us. But I was listening to what Byron was saying earlier, and, you know, it's just sad that this man is so insensitive, and he gives such lip service to people who are in need. Now, he acknowledged that he has plans on visiting Florida, I think, either Saturday or Sunday of this coming weekend. But there's been no further discussion about funding FEMA, and because he took money out of that budget to give to the ICE operation to see to it that immigrants are in compliance with what his new standard of the law should be. And, you know, he has no problems telling people that there's no such thing as climate global warming. You know, I just find him such an embarrassment, and I hate to you know, spend another hour, but with bombardment.
No,
but
we
have to show that this nation is in need of a correction, and
yeah, exactly.
We're in troubling times. We are really in
troubling
times.
You know what's happening though. In climate change, the weather is being shown to us. What's wrong? It's because
yes.
of Trump.
Yes.
Right.
He's a devil incarnate. And he's
yeah,
causing
right.
all this
yeah.
stuff. I'm telling you.
Well, if you notice the track of the hurricanes, it is an old tale that hurricanes emanate from Africa because Mother Africa is mourning the loss of her children. And,
I've heard that,
And the states and the impact of where hurricanes have hit, consider the South as a main target for all that the woes of the plantation, the slavery, Haiti, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, even New Orleans, because New Orleans was once one of the pirates and slave trade, you know, the areas where the slave market formerly existed. Anyway, on a lighter note, happy birthday, Kay.
Oh, thank you.
Oh.
Happy birthday to our leader.
Happy birthday.
Yes. Don't just say it to me. I want it sung.
Yeah, my mother had a birthday
I got Stevie Wonder here in my home.
Did I ask you? I sing.
Happy birthday Happy birthday to you.
I'm kidding.
Happy birthday.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we did that yesterday, so you kind of saved Byron. But, you know, getting back to that point you just made about the hurricanes originating in Africa, you know, my mom, you talked about that, I believe, on your radio show.
Yeah.
I remember that first hearing that on when you guys had WLIB and were doing the shows back in the day. So I first heard of that. Another example of how we miss the institution of more black radio, more things out there for us to talk to each other. And as I'm talking about that, Wayne, I'm sure you would attest to this too, and you as well, Ma. You know, I've been reading a little bit too much on social media, and when I'm on a friend's, usually it starts out I'm on a friend's page reading certain things, pro-black things or progressive things, and inevitably there's always a troll, and there's always white people that want to chime in. Because a lot of times some of the people, you know, with the various things of Facebook, you can make your comments so only your friends could see, or you can make your comments for the world to see, right? Mm-hmm. Inevitably, always, as you guys know from being on WLIB, there's always some Caucasian that is listening to what the Negroes are talking about, and they want to chime in, as opposed to just letting them, you know, let us have our discussion. We talk amongst ourselves, but they always want to chime in and do that. And I remember how you guys used to talk about people would call in, and there would be one particular white caller that would call into your show, Mom.
Yeah, negative guy. What was his name, that negative guy over there, squirmy white guy?
Yeah, but and I'm not talking about the other host, Bob Grant. I'm talking about
one of our hosts.
Right. No, I'm talking about individuals. There was somebody who used to call in sometimes, and from time to time, maybe you remember as well too, Wayne. And I'm sure my mom's show wasn't the only one that he called on, but that's what they do. You know, they seem to get upset when we are talking about positive things for ourselves, or they seem to always want to say, oh, why is it always about color and this and that. There was an ad on Facebook about a black political action committee, and a brother is doing like a PSA, why we need to have this, and he's making his pitch about this organization. Man, I mean, it's for the world to see. It's not for certain individuals. But as I read the comments, there are nothing. Most of these comments were by white people, saying it's always about color with you people, and you're always talking about this, and it's just unbelievable that every time we're talking about it, and obviously it's been since slavery times, you know, the whole thing can't be on the corner, can't congregate more than a few blacks, which is something that is still happening today, how they try to harass people in certain areas, parts of this country, but it's just indicative of the control that they want to maintain over this country, but over us. And I'm going to find a Facebook post that somebody put up talking about how the system in the United States works, and this person really broke it down very succinctly. I'm going to go find it on my computer. But go ahead, Wayne. You sound like you were getting ready to
chime in. I happen to agree. I mean, I remember receiving – you have to have thick skin to be in this business, like how your mom – will just demand that people sing for her birthday. You have to have that kind of mentality, you know, to make sure that, you know, you have arrived, and regardless of what ridicule or criticism that you go through, that you have some sort of repellent on your body, so it'll just bounce off, because if you take it to heart, you'll be looking over your shoulders every 2 minutes. And there was a period of time going back to the Bob Grant era, you know, where you would say one thing, Kay, and 2 o'clock would come, you're off the air, and he'll pick up
Bob
just
Grant.
Where you left off, you know? And so I know exactly what Eric is talking about. And I know he meant in reference to somebody who would just listen to the conversation at LIB and call in. But this is something that just wasn't just germane to that medium alone. I think there were people who would follow us regardless if you had a varying point of view. I had that happen to Air America when suddenly, you know, we were on a national platform. And, I didn't think he could read, you know, or, you know, they would try to check your grammar or your use of certain words. You know, there's always a certain standard that we have to live up. And I'm not saying this, that there
should
be some,
we really got to the point where, and then, you know, and I was a latecomer under you guys because you were up first on the air, but I was bored. I was really bored with, you know, these people calling in and thinking they knew more than we knew about our lives. And so it wasn't hard for me to, you know, speak my mind and tell them exactly, you know, what was going on. And so, and also, I think I probably upset a lot of people when I had, you know, some members of the black police persons on. Ali Al Rockman, for instance,
right.
And the great, absolutely great black police organizations, okay? And we brought out problems with incarceration, you know, of you know, black people. Also, and about the, you know, the fairness of the black policemen, what they were going through at the same time. So we were dealing with a lot of crucial issues, and I learned an awful lot, you know, being on, you know, LIBBLS, so even though I had, you know, done radio and television in New Jersey. But New York was quite an eye-opener for me at the beginning.
Judy Simmons was a great help. What's sad about it is that the phenomenon still exists today. 20 years ago, we were talking about issues that are still relevant today. That's the sadness,
mm-hmm.
you know,
well, yeah.
and our voices are not heard.
And hundreds, we're talking hundreds of years, actually, that things have still been the same.
Right.
Exactly. What concerns me is that when I read some of these comments on these social media outlets, right, that there's always, and I've noticed an alarming number, or at least for me, a number of young black people who will take a counter position, the position that you would expect a Trump supporter to take. And it's a lack of history. They don't know their history. And as these generations are further removed from seeing people attacked on TV and seeing in current day, I'm talking about, they get further removed from that happening on like a regular. And I would assume that these individuals that always seem to take up the side of, say, like a Kanye West, these individuals don't really deal with what's going on in the streets with young kids getting shot. You know, these individuals certainly, like I said, they don't remember, they weren't alive to see those searing images. None of them were alive actually during the time when Dr. King was living to understand his impact, as young as many of us were at that time, as I was at that time. So they seem to want to jump on, more than I want to see. There's a great number of them that want to agree with this whole Republican thing, and Hillary was this, and the false equivalency that Hillary was just as bad as Trump, which is something they were cultivating for years since they first got elected, since Bill Clinton first got elected, and she tried to be involved in policy, and those white males, ironically, way back then, got very upset, and that's when they began to on their anti-Hillary thing from way back then. And obviously you're saying things for 30, 40 years, or I don't know, however many of you, I guess it wasn't 40, but long enough. And also I got to say the Clintons don't help themselves, you know, sometimes. But
mm-hmm.
to just assume that it was the lesser of two evils and Trump was the lesser between him and Hillary is unbelievable, certainly in light of what came out with Kavanaugh and Trump's history. And just seeing how they just totally threw out the process, to making up their own rules as they go along. I said this to somebody yesterday. These people don't even have the conviction or the integrity to follow the rules that they make. You know, they
right.
make their own rules, then they turn around and break them. I guess that's why they make them. But it is unbelievable. Let me just read this and talk about the system, right? This is what the person wrote that I came across on Facebook. She said, just a reminder, the system in what is currently known as the U.S. isn't broken. It was designed by male white supremacist slave owners on stolen indigenous land to protect their interest. It's working as it was designed. And that's really very astute, right? It's working as it was designed. You know, I mean, how those guys were able to just walk this guy in, let him be a Supreme Court justice, limit the scope of the FBI investigation, and then the other ones who just wanted to vote for him anyway, but just needed to look kind of like they were being impartial or bipartisan. You know, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, I've been popping off on people when I come on Friends' page, writing things, and I'm just tired of hearing. There's always one person that wants to, you know, one of these people that want to talk about, you know, well, what did the, you know, my friend put up a picture of Colin Kaepernick kneeling and said, if you have a, and then next to that other picture was a cop beating a black guy on the ground. So the caption was, if you have a problem with this and not with that, then maybe the problem is you, right? If you have a problem with Colin Kaepernick kneeling and the cop not beating, and don't have a problem with a cop beating the black guy with a baton in the air, maybe you're the problem. And so this one white individual put on my man's page, well, what did the cop do? What, we don't know. The picture doesn't explain the whole thing, yada, yada, this and that. And you've got, I was like, and I'm just tired of it. I just had to light into the guy, you know, and just let him know, like, we're tired of that, man. Stop using that excuse. All right. The only reason that it's that way because it was illegal to be black in America one time. We were slaves, and the cops were used to catch us and uphold the law. That's the history. And these people want to run away from the history and make up some fad about some old this whole fad about America. The whole thing is false. It's a house built on a crook foundation, and these individuals keep clearly their objective is to do just what I read. Because what other conclusion can we draw? Right. Is to oppress us, to keep us down. So what other conclusion can I draw from your actions? And I've cut off people from high school that want to, oh, Facebook, we're able to reconnect. I don't need to reconnect with you. If you're showing me that you're down with this guy, you try to make up some excuse, I don't need to reconnect with you. I've been living my black life just fine without you. you know? Don't need to know how you're doing. Don't shout me out because you might see me on TV or you know, my cousin's a congressman. Don't need to know how you're doing. Keep it moving. Because I lived my life as a black man from high school.
That would raise my blood pressure. To a certain extent, that's one of the things I don't miss about being in the fishbowl. But, you know, it after a while it's frightening because the thing is that you're carrying the whole community on your back. You know, you're carrying an agenda that you think is balanced, and they are so quick to point out that it's not. It's always going to be their agenda, and that's it. It's unfortunate.
Exactly.
It's really unfortunate.
And, yeah, it's a good thing with that we have gone through that because now we're always on the alert.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay?
That's a great point.
And,
we're always,
you know, always on
it.
The alert. So, you know, when we go over and over things, I mean, sometimes it's very boring to go over on and over about this black white stuff. Right? We know that.
Right.
It's done.
Yeah.
Are we going to take it? Hell no. So shut up.
Right. But
let's go on to the next time. Next thing is, how do we make the money?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. It's about obtaining power.
That's right.
I believe that they're
they. I couldn't care less the way people think.
Right. The only thing that they understand is power and money. And that's
right.
The way that it appears that you deal with these individuals. But you're, like you're saying, Wayne, about the agenda perspective, not everybody's on the same agenda as us, right? I mean, clearly we know that. Not every black person on the same agenda. You know, I mean, they talk about the talented 10th, right? It's only going to be 10% of people who actually move and make things happen. All you got to do is walk down the street or go through any one of neighborhoods where we are predominant in, and you'll see the individuals trying to make something happen and the individuals that, you know, they're just trying to survive or are really just trying to get through or just do whatever they need to do. And I'm not saying that people that aren't doing a certain amount of positive forward pushing in the black community, if someone just wants to go to work and try to make it happen, or some people have totally checked out and said, I'm just going to get my hustle on and try to beat the system as much as possible, and come to find out that all these people who claim go by the system, they've been beating the system. You know, I mean, you've got a president who talks about people not people being not paying their taxes or doing whatever. Obviously, he doesn't talk about people not paying their taxes, but you got a president talking about what the previous guy did about not showing up or going to a fundraiser for a superstar and standing. He's doing the same exact thing. So there clearly is a double standard the way they look at life for them and everybody else. And maybe it's human nature.
The double standard there is that at least Obama sought to have funding, you know, doubled for FEMA to help out in a crisis like this. He got to understand that. So if he wanted to go out to campaign after the fact, you know, he was there. He was hands-on. You know, Bush, I mean, I don't even want to go that far back to Katrina, but we all saw what happened there. And I think he has, you know, to a certain extent, there's been an awakening there on his part. But as far as the rest of the party is concerned, you know, they're all buying into the same social toothpaste that this man daily dishes out. And it's just unfortunate that they're spineless, that even in the face of a vote that occurred last week, clearly there's something that happened. But they always, as you pointed out earlier, Eric and Byron, that they're always changing the game plan. To make it, you know, it can't be a thorough investigation by the FBI. It's got to be something that suits their needs. You know, if we talk about impeachment
they do this on purpose. So we,
you know,
we will have something to answer to. Instead of the heck with it. Go forward and do what you want to do and just knock them out of the way by any means necessary.
Yeah.
Period. But don't spend time going over and over and over and over and over again.
We have no choice.
We're still dealing with the
same issues. And perhaps if we pay a closer eye to it, be more focused on it, then perhaps we can make these substantial changes. And I'll point to the last presidential election just to be an example. I'll point to the midterms previous. Hopefully this midterm election will be a little bit different. But I'll point to midterms all up until this point. Democrats traditionally didn't turn out for midterm elections. Certainly a large part of our community didn't realize how important it was. We got to turn out for every single election because we understand, that if we control state houses –
Before you extol the virtues of the last Bush president, just to make sure you understand, this last vote on Kavanaugh, he called Susan Collins. He called her because you have to remember, Kavanaugh worked in the Bush administration.
I understand his history and all that writing about excusing the president because he's above the law occurred on the Bush's watch. No, I understand that part.
Hold on one at a time. I'm trying to follow both of you guys.
I'm sorry.
George Bush does not get a pass for me coming around. I heard you say he's coming around. He called Susan Collins on behalf of Trump to convince her that Kavanaugh would be a good choice. That's a fact. So but while the bully is in there dictating how the game is played, you got this other clown who he was, as history will show, Bush was a clown who was a coke addict. Let's really call him out. And who broke the Treasury after he was in office for 6 months, emptied the Treasury, and that's when we had 9/11. So he called Susan Collins.
Byron, I'm not ignoring that. I mean, the only thing that I could say commendable about George W. Bush is that he at least has his footprint in terms of the effort to get that African Smithsonian Institute that's down in D.C. started, you know, under his watch.
Right.
But, I mean, they all have that mentality about
racism.
And the thing is, if his brother wasn't elected, you know, they would have to curry favor with the rest of the group in order to maintain, you know. To this day, I don't understand, you know, what goes on in the, in terms of – Michelle Obama's fondness for George W. because I think maybe it's a thing whereby behind his back she's probably mocking him and just doing the things that's politically expedient, you know, when they talk about the friendship that's forged between the two of them.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I agree with you. I mean, history will always have that about George W.'s problem.
You know that,
his
and
inability
I know
to
putting up with this stuff. She's tolerating.
Yeah, right.
And you know one thing? We really spend too much time worrying about what the white man is going to do. We need to keep talking about the future and the future of America itself, you know, instead of saying this person, that person. They're boring, you know?
Well, we need to watch. We need
but
to keep
Trump
an eye on
him. His day is coming.
Yeah.
He's not going to be there forever.
We need to keep an eye on him because
but the point is, you know, not to spend time and even analyzing. You know what they are.
Right.
So therefore, you start putting in programs that's going to be benefiting your community, our community, and not worry about them.
But if they interrupt,
then we know what to do.
We need to come up with a strategy. We need to continue strategies that have worked,
well,
that have made us self-reliant.
On.
But however, if we talk about places like Rosewood and Tulsa, Oklahoma, they seem to want to come in whenever we're doing well. You guys know what I'm talking
about. You
just
got to walk all over
them. They want to come
in
and affect our thing. I disagree with it. You can't worry about it. I think you have to focus on it and understand where they're coming
from. Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. We know where they're coming from, so we don't have to talk about where
it's as you were saying, Wayne, about Bush, I want to get back to that, him and Michelle. I just think Michelle Obama is just being kind like you would be kind to, like, tolerant and kind to somebody who's an idiot.
Like a pet.
You know what I mean? They are.
These people are pets. They have a certain
connection, you know, ex-president.
I think homeboy's attracted to her, man, you know.
Look at his relationship with Condoleezza Rice, was his work wife. So, he's got a black woman thing. You know, and so, I think that, you know, you're going to be cordial. I mean, this is the whole thing about what's happened down in D.C. now with a lot of the Congress and the Senate, a lot of these Tea Party, once these Tea Party individuals started getting in and these alt-right, extreme-right people, that they would always at least try to be cordial with one another. Obviously, you know, to me, it's like high school. When I go down to the Capitol, go down there, it's like high school all over again, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got the super seniors. You got the seniors who were all the elected officials. They're like the jocks, the popular kids, the top level of the school, right? Everybody else is kissing their butt, right, trying to be cool with them. Staffers, everybody wants something from the elected officials, right? And then within that, and I liken it really to a high school I grew up in, which was somewhat integrated, not equally integrated, but how we negotiated those relationships with different individuals, you know. You had different relationships with different individuals of the other race, right? Some you might have been cordial with, just what's up or whatever, might have been semi-friendly with. Some you were close with. Some you developed a real friendship with. And some that you might have been speak to every once in a while, that's the cat that might call you out your name, right? That in a situation going down, he would be on the other side. Then I'm talking about the varying degrees of the racial relationships, right? And the varying degrees that you meet with the prejudiceness and the racism.
Right.
And the same thing goes on in that Capitol, man. You got people coming from all parts of the country. You have individuals coming from representing 700,000 people that think like that. You know? You got Louis Gohmert, this idiot, or Steve King, blatantly, these guys have said blatant racist things about people. But the scary thing is, they represent a whole constituency of people. At least the Congress people do, right?
The same thought process, yeah.
Right, right. So, I mean, you know, they're representing the racist part of the racist parts of the country, some of these guys, and that's what they believe, and they come with that craziness, you know. And now, you know, you get the black president. That's why Mitch McConnell, it was revealed that these guys had a pact to make sure that Obama didn't get any success. You know, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. The problem with the Democrats is that we always want to be, you know, nice. We want to be – the problem of being the good guy is you got to do good guy stuff. So when the bad guy starts fighting dirty, the good guy right? Always in the movies, good and evil. The good guy can't go to the dark side to fight fire with fire, right? So, you know, you got to do that. So you got to have some people that are willing to, you know, I went to a fundraiser that we had here for Andrew Gillum, the brother that's running for governor of Florida, which will be the first African American governor of Florida. And he was talking about, you know, I can't, you know, we're trying to bring America together, you know, and we, you know, this division that this individual's put us in, we need to bring people together. And so, you know, certain things I'm not going to go. He said, but my supporters, y'all could be the ones that go to the mattress. You know what I'm saying? So there's people that can go a little bit more hardcore and bring some of this stuff up. Because now what's happening is, and it was just making a point, somebody on Hardball was making the point, the brother, Jason, I forget, that teaches at Morgan. He was saying people don't, you know, when people are just calm and talking about politics, nothing gets done. But when people are afraid that they have an angry mob, an angry electorate, that's when things get done, right? That's how the Tea Party started getting all this attention.
As crazy as they were. From your lips to God's ear, I just hope with all the recent protestation regarding this Kavanaugh situation translate into numbers on November 6th. You know, I really hope so.
Who cares?
You know?
Who cares?
Wait a minute.
I know.
That could have been you.
Let
that could have been
talk.
My sister. That could have been my mother. Right. I think
okay?
the world cares.
Now, Wayne, listen.
It's got to be a
listen.
Correction.
Wayne.
Go ahead.
This is boring. You know, we're talking about. Wait a minute. We're talking about what should have been, would have been racism, whatnot. Go beyond that. What can we do to better the world? What can we do to come out with things that is going to put more money in our pockets instead of worrying about these little white guys?
Well, the white
doing.
Guys are in the way.
Yes,
though.
But
boy,
is we can't be stuck in
they're,
that.
They're the ones that are in the way, so we
you
need to work up a strategy
that.
Of how to get around them and get
well,
past them. They're the ones that are in the way. You keep saying get past them. How do we got? That's why we keep talking about it. We need to come up with a strategy to get past them.
And you're stuck on talk.
You know, we need to come up with a strategy to get past them. What do we need to do?
Strategy. There you go.
What do we need to do to get this thing in? That's why I was just talking about the governor of Florida talking about strategy. You know, so I know you don't like talk about
no,
politics.
No, because you got to go walk over these things. They're not inhuman. Walk through them, over them, under them, through them.
But we need to stay vigilant. We still need to stay vigilant, always.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, I'm going to always stay vigilant. The more that I'm closer, the closer I am into it now, as opposed to when my uncle
and father. We were vigilant for years, weren't we, Wayne?
As opposed to when my uncle was in office and my father was close to it. The closer, that's just impolite. The closer that I'm to politics with my cousin as I walk down there, and at the age that I am now of being a certain age and seeing this my whole life and understanding that my mother, my father, my grandparents, my great grandparents had to deal with this same shit.
Exactly.
It's tiring.
Yeah.
It's tiring. So it makes you be a little bit militant. I'm tired of hearing these people want to talk about America and love it or leave it. When we've been denied knowledge of self, we don't even get taught this stuff in their public school system. They don't teach us that a black man invented the stoplight. They barely teach you about slavery. And now I'm hearing that. I'm sure you guys in Byron, I'm sure you're really familiar with this. That Texas, you know, they're one of the leading orders of school books, right? Since they got such a big school system. So they order the textbooks that they want. So now Texas, as we all know, it wants to change history. They want to order textbooks that don't talk about African-American history and slavery and whatever. They want to change slavery to have the Civil War to not being a war about slavery. That's where they want to go.
Oh, so it's not existent. That is amazing.
And that's what they do. I mean, they come like Frances Cress Wellesley that you guys taught me about. She talked about them coming at us at not all these different fronts, entertainment, social, political, all of these different fronts that they attack us.
So what else is
And
done?
It's been perfected. So the more that we people have knowledge of self, walking around here not knowing these things about yourself, thinking that your history began at these shores as slaves when it didn't. And even when they try to bastardize that history and say, well, your own people sold you to slavery. Yeah, they did, but this is how they looked at slavery back then. Stop making stuff up. I'm tired of living in a country where they just make stuff up, man. I know I was in the entertainment business, but damn, that's what I got to say.
They made it up before you were born. So
right, exactly.
Go beyond that.
That's why I'm talking about it now. I'm here now, so it's my turn to talk about it.
Yes.
Okay. So it's our generation's turn to talk about it.
Now, okay, so when
we pick up the mantle.
Well, listen, let me tell you something. WLIB and Black Radio, BLS, and any other black radio station, we were dealing with this for a long period of time.
Right, that was then. We need to deal with it now. We need to pick up that mantle.
We are not going to review it and review it. We know it. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to come up with brand new ideas to, make the human persons go forward.
Right.
With different kinds of things like new technology, new this, new that. Don't spend the time in worrying about what other people think. Who cares about that?
Right. The more we learn about the various ways that things go down.
But
even
we
in
have
term,
learned,
even
and
even
we know
terms,
we don't need to be told.
No.
And the other people have. They've got to learn. I'm not spending time with their with lack of their knowledge.
What do you guys think? What do you guys think? Chime in, jump in, gentlemen.
History will teach us that what we don't know is reasons because we have not been given the history. And you're proving something very, very significant.
Don't tell me that.
Because I just read an article about the Louisiana Purchase that I found extremely interesting because the Louisiana Purchase came about as a result of Toussaint Louverture and Dessalines defeating Napoleon. Jefferson went to France, and he secured the services of a Monsieur Dupont. Now, does that last name ring a bell to you?
Yep.
Monsieur Dupont was an expert in manufacturing of gunpowder. And it was known during the Revolutionary War that the American armament was using cheap gunpowder against the British. Once Napoleon was defeated, with Sally Hemings in tow, in Paris, Jefferson secured Monsieur Dupont to come to America to improve the manufacturing of gunpowder. By way of doing that, he secured the sale of the Louisiana Purchase from Napoleon as a trade-off to increase ownership of the United States. Now, you have to understand the land ownership at that time was about bringing in slave states and free states on the expansion of this country. Now, without the knowledge of that history, which I just gave you, you would think that the defeat of Napoleon by the slaves of Haiti was an insignificant historical event. It set in motion one of the most nefarious deals ever made and created in this country one of the richest families still to this day, DuPont.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
And they certainly left their mark in media and all sorts of other businesses.
Of course. Who knows where their mark is and the chemicals that their companies manufacture? You know, I mean, if you drive down the Turnpike, New Jersey Turnpike, as you're going through Delaware, DuPont is very big throughout the state of Delaware. They almost own it, right? You have the DuPont factory there. We used to drive by it going to school, as you know, Byron. I mean, you were going from D.C. I was coming from Jersey, so we would drive by it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm talking about. There's also looking at someone talking about the brother Eric Reed, who was kneeling with Colin Kaepernick, the football player.
Yeah.
He got signed to the Panthers. And he has a thing on social media talking about the 400 years and during the FDR era, how black people couldn't take advantage of a lot of the things that were made available to many Americans at the time. The loans, farmer loans, home loans. And Dr. King, there's a clip of Dr. King on YouTube where he talks about how America set up GIs servicemen coming back home from overseas and set them up to get these loans to acquire these farms and lands, and even taught them, had a program set up to come and teach them how to farm the land, which black people couldn't take a part of. And that helped to build a middle class in America, which black people couldn't become a part of. So understanding the history, this is why more Americans need to, more of us need to understand the history and how it works. And those of them, Caucasians, who are interested in a fair, righteous world, or a fair, equal world here, or certainly equal country, need to understand that history. Also need to understand the global history, right, of the conquerors all over the world. King Leopold killing all the Congolese, right? What is it, 10 million that he killed, right? So to understand how they are all across the world have tried to keep us in bondage, have murdered us, have stolen the land that is indigenously ours, us and other people. So to understand all that, once we educate the populace of our people, then we could come up with that plan to work around the objectives of the obstacles that stand in our way to freedom.
Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, Dr. Jeffrey.
Exactly, all of those
Dr.
gentlemen.
Dr. Petioni, LeBron James, et cetera, et cetera, all will be proud, right? Okay.
LeBron James.
Yeah. Now, he's an athlete, you know,
okay.
Sure. He's a part of history, okay?
But he is.
Anyway, but the point is, and the point I'm making is that, you know, these are the things that you learn in elementary school now, junior high school. High school. Now you put that together. So what's going to go on now? What's going to go on now? How do we put more things into space? How do we go from one place to the other in different modes of transportation?
But the whole thing.
You know, we know the history. You know, the history is in the books. The history has been in the school system.
It has,
okay.
Well, that's the whole thing. It hasn't been.
Yes, it has been. I'm telling you that it has been. When
okay.
I was teaching school, I was teaching African American history. Are you kidding? English and history.
I understand when you were teaching school, but you were one of many teachers.
No,
this
yes,
is what I'm talking
but,
about.
But
this
the
is
point
why
is, that's history.
Understood. But
so,
if it's
so,
not getting taught, then it's not getting disseminated. The
I'm
kids aren't learning
that,
it.
I'm telling you that.
That's why your ex-husband, my father, introduced the Amistad legislation 16
which
years
was
ago
good, yes, but
for black history to be taught. All across the board.
And it is. What are you
it's
talking
not,
about?
It's not put into place. It's not funded. That's what the fight is about. It's not funded in the United States, in New Jersey. The program has not been funded, and they don't have people teaching that. So it's still just 1 month a year. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
We don't know
then
history
you get
itself.
To politics.
You
then
know?
You get to politics.
Christy Todd Whitman.
You have to put in people
exactly.
in place, you know, in office to, you know, make sure the – anyway,
exactly.
That's
exactly
what the school
right.
system.
Comes back to that
listen,
point.
Eric. You know, all this has been taught. Okay, I think
so,
we have to move to the age
not,
of technology. You know, instead of worrying about whether black
well,
people like me, white people like them don't like me. I don't
okay.
like them. That's
right.
boring after a while. You know.
Yeah, I'm talking to. We're,
if
we're
people don't agree with you, walk through them, walk
right.
over them, walk around them. Don't
right.
worry about you know all the stuff all the time.
We're talking
it's
about.
Boring.
I believe that we're talking about strategies and how to deal with that and how to get the word out to more of our people.
We don't have
be
strategies
educated.
By now.
So,
we'll never have them.
Well, they keep changing, you know, as the rules change.
Okay.
That's why we need to have a whole new American system. That's why we need to do away with the Electoral College and things like that that were designed to keep these very few minority people in power. Right? I mean, we've talked about this before. Byron, you were the historian. We talked about what the Electoral College was about, to keep the southern states a part of the Union, to appease these southern ex-slave owners.
And I've taught school. I know, too.
And how,
I've taught
and
that.
How they then came up
more
with other systems of indentured servitude for African-Americans, slavery, Jim Crow.
You
know?
Don't you remember learning that in elementary school?
No, I didn't learn that in elementary school. That was not taught in my elementary school, not in Maplewood, not in a lot of elementary schools. Not any kids that were born in the 60s. No, there was not extensive black history. That's why I'm saying this to you. That's why it was in the 90s that Dad had to put forth this legislation, because it wasn't being taught.
Right.
You know, fortunately, we have charter schools now that some we could, you know, if we get our act together, there are some schools that we're teaching our own schools. But I always thought that we needed a black school, just like the Jewish kids have Hebrew school and the Catholics go to
Catholicism. What do you call the black colleges?
Catholicism.
What do you call the black
college? That's college. You just said elementary. So that's a difference of 10 years.
That, okay.
And if you don't have the right black college teachers, they might not know it.
Okay.
I, for some reason, thought I vaguely remember Chris Christie saying something about making sure Amistad was something that was going to be a part of the curriculum of all the Jersey
right.
schools when he was governor.
Right.
I just
who was governor?
That went out the window. When your former governor.
No, Chris Christie wasn't.
No, he wasn't around then.
No, he was around.
No, he wasn't around when Bill Payne, when your dad started this. But
Christy
I remember
Todd Whitman was,
some...
Hold on. Christy Todd Whitman was the governor at the time.
Yeah.
They were able to pass it, right? Then he came on claiming he was going to fund it, but it never – I'm talking about Chris Christie now. But he never funded it. That's the whole thing.
Oh,
it hasn't
okay.
been funding. The program has not been
right.
funded
now,
to be implemented.
I, for some
but
reason,
even before that legislation, black
that
history was
be
taught in some of the schools, okay?
I agree.
Yeah.
Because
I
taught.
I know that what
Remember?
You taught. That's what I'm saying. When they had teachers like you, they were able to get that benefit. But not all of the teachers were like you, Mom. That's what I'm saying to you. If you had a white teacher in there, if depending on who they, what type of perspective they had, they weren't going to teach black history. There's still stories on the news today. Of one lady getting fired from the New York school system because she had
right
black kids get on the floor. Yeah,
exactly.
So I mean, you know, they and then they try to turn around and justify. Well, I didn't really mean it. Why did it? Come on. There's countless stories the past year about crazy
right.
stuff that some of these superintendents, white superintendents at these schools are saying. You know, now I mean, just look at the school to prison pipeline. You know how they instituted that. You know.
It's
so
all by
I mean,
design.
It is by design. It's a grand design that they have. That's why the Republicans have been chasing controlling the Supreme Court for all these years. I mean, my opinion, we need to question all these institutions, which are just made up for these people to be able to exploit the system. You know?
It's funny as you mentioned this, Eric. Not to cut you off, I was reading an article earlier today. I forgot what it was off the internet that I read. It was published about this white conservative. I can't think of the gentleman's name, but he has been against affirmative action programs across the country. He brought a case, and I believe in the state of Texas, and he lost because there was obviously an imbalance with respect to what he was trying to do to gain admission for some white student. All of a sudden, an Asian student comes along, and he wanted to get into one of the Ivy League colleges, had great grades. You know, there was no reason why he should not have been accepted. And I forgot, I think it was either Yale or maybe Harvard that he was turned down. And the deal is that the school gave the excuse. Now, affirmative action, from my knowledge, I know there's a preference with people of color being black and Latino, but I thought even in the Asian community that there would be some allowance or understanding for that. So all of a sudden, this guy, long story short, And from what I got from the gist of the article, that he was beginning to pony up to what this conservative was doing just so that he could get a shot at attending Ivy League schools because of his grade.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it was a situation whereby this conservative was going to use affirmative action, a program, an entitlement program that a lot of these you know, people would like to see, you know, on the other side done away with because they don't understand, you know, the correlation or the connection as to why we need programs to be accepted to a certain point. And then all of a sudden this sort of thing happens. And
right, you reversed it.
It's very confounding. If I could just get the article again, because all of a sudden this guy was using affirmative action just to cite where this
right.
Asian, I believe the gentleman is either Chinese or Korean, trying to get into school, and why he should not be denied this opportunity. But I know in the long run, these are the things. You're familiar with the article, Byron?
Yeah, it's the same argument that Bakke made with respect to reverse discrimination.
Reverse discrimination.
Right.
Yeah, that's all. It's the same. See, this is the part of which you may recall me months ago on our show discussing how the Congress and senators, both Democrats and Republicans, participated in trying to circumvent the Constitution. It's called treason. And when they stand to obstruct the Constitution by way of circumventing it so that they can bend the rules, bend the laws, and this is nothing new. So
they do that all the time too.
This is over a period of almost 300 years they've been doing this. So we have to call them out. That's why I say history is the lesson that we have to be able to keep throwing them back in the face. And Eric Holder said something yesterday I agree with him totally. When they go low, we kick them.
That's absolutely
we
right.
We kick them.
Yep.
Don't even go high. Just kick them.
Kick them. That's right.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
The minority. See, we're not a minority in this country. I keep telling people, I said, listen, Trump.
Exactly.
Every time they talk about his base expanding and really 90% of his base is in support of him. Well, guess what? It's still 25 to 35%. You can get
exactly the population, right?
What you want. The base is still a minority. This is a democracy that is run by majority rule. We get out to vote. We will dictate the terms of how this game is played, period.
Yeah, but they still run – but the minority rule, right, is a majority is run by a minority rule, but the minority controls all of those facets and all of those tools to get the mindset of the people, right? I had someone tell me something.
Eric, I agree with you up to a point. You watch what happens in the next 28 days. This hurricane that just struck the two of the states
at the right time.
That received most of the defense budget. I don't care what Lindsey Graham says. His state just got toasted.
Can you
understand what I'm saying?
His state just got what?
Toasted.
Repeat that?
Kicked in the butt.
Right. Right. I was astounded when we didn't really talk about Lindsey Graham, who I think wants to run for president one day.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought that was an embarrassment. You know, I know
when he was going off,
John McCain must be turning in his grave.
Well, I said he's no John McCain. Performance was really quite unique, wasn't it? How he was able to feign all of that righteous anger. You know, and I saw
even
another
got a little
post
Bill Cosby in there too.
man, and he, you know how he had all this. I saw a post online about they had a picture of Kavanaugh in one of his more uglier faces or upset faces, and they said, "Hell hath no fury like an entitled white man, you know, that feels he's been wronged."
What's the lady's name involved with the United Nations? You know, I forget the name. Really?
Just resigned?
Yeah.
Nikki Haley.
Yeah, Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
Well, she said she
was. She said she's not.
I'm glad she's
resigning.
I want her to go home and stay home. She was a bad governor of the state of South, great state of South Carolina. Same state that we got.
We are
the black man as a senator who is just as Uncle Tom as they come, and the great Congress senator himself, Lindsey Graham. So, you know what? Go home, Nikki. Stay home.
Yeah.
Because you were supporting
the
evil.
Why do you say that?
Well, because she was not a good governor, and she was
who
supporting
cares about that now?
She was supporting the initiative of the president.
She was carrying water for Donald Trump. She carried
That's
water right.
yes,
for
she
Donald
was.
Trump.
You know what? You know what? We've been going at it for so long. Time has flown. We got 90 seconds, so we got to say goodnight.
Already?
I think Nikki Haley has been holding a whole lot of stuff in.
So right? Maybe so, but maybe she'll come out. But
she will.
As of yesterday, she said she was going to be campaigning for Trump. But I want to say thanks to everybody for listening to us, the Kay Thompson Live Show. I want to say thank you to our two co-hosts, as usual, Brother Byron Saunders. Byron, let the people know what you're doing and give them your sign off.
Well, you know, I just went to a wonderful continuum today about Louis Armstrong over at Columbia University.
Oh, really?
But, you know, that's
okay.
The next 3 days. That's right. Eric Dyson is there tonight as we are on the air right now. There's a conversation with him.
All right.
And Mark Moriel. I mean,
all
this
right.
is really good stuff, y'all. Anyway, peace
all right.
and
okay.
love. All of you.
Thank you, sir. See you next week.
Yes, sir.
K. Thompson Live.
Wayne, well, hold on. Wayne Gilman, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mark.
I just want to say thanks also. And I also want to thank Congressmember Yvette Clark. I was honored this past weekend by the Jamaican Progressive League. Got a plaque.
Great.
Yeah.
All
right. I'm not even
thank
Jamaican.
You so much.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you tomorrow. Right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the K. Thompson Live show.
On every Wednesday.
8 to 9 p.m. Or it's archived, and you can listen to us at any time. I'm the Sun, Citizen Payne, and you are.
I am K. Thompson. K. Thompson Live.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that is so...